Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
Now the Gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
Chris, and listeners, I don't want to overstate the importance of rugby league in the actual big picture here, but blood, guts, gold dunnies and world domination, there's the starting themes this week on Fire Up.
And that's just a theme for the week.
Just the week. That's it.
It's a broader.
I know. And it's 21st century. Look, you look around the news and you see, you know, bloodshed, you see war, you see corruption, you see, you know, falling empires. Everything's going on, you know, from the Putin and Ukraine, Middle East, Xi, you got North Korea, South China Sea. It's going on everywhere. Trump, you name it. And, of course, rugby league really just reflects it all, doesn't it?
Like Ricky Stewart, I don't understand anything about politics. I don't know what you were talking about. But for the listener, just to give something that they can relate to, if you were following rugby union, you'd watch it on the tiny screen on your mobile phone.
Yes.
Rugby league into an IMAX. Do they still do Panavision? Because it'd have to be in Panavision, wouldn't it?
Yes, Chris. I think they've updated that since then. But I think 4K or right. 5K.
In an IMAX theatre.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And beyond stereo, of course. You know.
Yes.
Now, that's always not good enough for you because you go to games, Chris.
I do go to games,
Stephen.
You went
to two games this week. I think you were shit-stirring some of those games, weren't you? There was a bit of trouble, a couple of games, I think.
Yes, that might come up at some
stage. Okay. Now, you know, we look at some of these, the big issues, you know, it used to be called good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, you know. Mm-hmm. Who are the good guys, who are the bad guys? Not women, just men, you know. But now is it the ideological divide, you know? Is it capitalism versus sort of fascism? Because communism really has evolved into fascism, hasn't it, Chris? You know, no longer the old, you know, socialism doesn't seem
to... I was going to say, where does socialism fit in all this?
It doesn't seem to fit anymore.
I know nothing about politics.
No one's sharing the goods anymore, Chris.
Did communism come up? I'm not sure.
But I would say it's merely a case of, on one side, you've got wellness.
Ooh, that's the evil side, right?
No. We're arguing that's the good side versus friction of some kind whatsoever. You know, and let's come on, let's get into it. The Dalai Lama. I always assumed he was one of the good guys. I thought it was wellness for the Dalai Lama and his influence.
I've got absolutely no basis for saying this, Stephen, but in my view, the Dalai Lama is a fraud.
Is that right?
And I think that became real. You hear the platitudes about consciousness, etc., and you know, goodness and wellness for all people, i.e. the bad side. But the minute he put on that South Sydney cap via the agency of Russell Crowe, I knew something was rotten in Tibet.
I think what we're leading to is that there's a certain amount of fraudsterism. Is that a word?
it is now.
Carny folk style with the wellness industry, because really it's embedded in capitalism, isn't it?
The wellness industry, Stephen, I call it modern religion. And hasn't religion done well during the centuries?
Yes, hasn't it? What?
But the idea of countries going to war in the 21st century defending their wellness gurus doesn't sound that crazy.
No, it does not, no. And leaders are coming, of course, and meeting up with each other in this wellness industry, I guess, dystopia.
I tell you where you find
Utopia.
You find them in two places.
North Sydney.
Yes, yes. One, in rugby league coaching boxes, as we'll explore. Yeah. And the other is at the ICC Aware Super Theatre down in Darling Harbour. They just have got a never-ending stream of wellness gurus, your Andrew Hubermans, etc. And, of course, let's not forget Gwyneth Paltrow with Besties, which didn't do that well, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. It was undersubscribed.
Right. So in this sort of where do I fit sort of spectrometer.
Spectrometer.
Spectrometer. Like the scrotometer. Am I part of the good or the bad? And really, it's very confusing because trying to keep track of them, because one minute they could be seemingly good and then they've sold out or they've been caught out.
I've always seen you as a moral compass, Stephen, and I see your needle kind of wavering between the good and the bad. Though you must be conflicted when recent media reports about Netstrata, the sponsors
up to no good.
Of Concord Jubilee are up to no good.
Did they cover the signs up on the weekend? I didn't go.
Not that I could see.
No.
But, you know, they certainly weren't obscured by the crowd.
Right.
But, you can get sort of...
Well, that barometer thing, I think Rugby League is a barometer of sensible. Let's be sensible. What's the common sense point in this whole game? And sometimes it's just get out and hit somebody.
Rugby League are not role models. They're just reflections of society.
Exactly.
Fire Up. Explaining the Church of Rugby League.
Now, a big game for you this weekend, a big game for Benji, a big game for a team song. Is it a brand new team song, Chris?
Guess who wrote it?
I heard Benji did.
Benji wrote it.
He was handing out the notes too.
I tell you what, the guy is doing well for a part-time coach.
Yes. So when does he knock off?
5 o'clock.
5 p.m.?
Yep. It's family time.
Okay.
It's Bluey. I hear they're doing a wedding episode on Bluey coming up. The Marshall family will be all over that.
Right.
He's got responsibilities to his spouse, to his kids, to his broader family.
So it's to wash the kiddies, to feed the kiddies, to get them to bed, to read a story, Bluey.
Yes.
And then knock off stops.
At 8?
Yeah, or did he go back to the drawing board, the rugby league drawing board?
Well, no, he's had time to check in on his half-brother, Jeremy Marshall King, after that Falcon against your Dragons for the Dolphins. Right. How are you, bro?
So he's caring.
Bro, and he's caring, but at 8 o'clock, most rugby league obsessive coaches would be mired in hours and hours of videotape, Stephen.
Yes.
But Benji, he calls it his muse time. Out of that, he took... a little bit of the Western Suburbs song, a little bit of the Balmain Tigers song, created a new West Tigers song, and he's also released a fashion line, which was in evidence at Leichhardt on Saturday with these beautiful grey jackets. Yeah. All the coaches had them.
Grey jackets?
Yes.
Yeah. And Valentino, indeed, who's behind that?
Well, again, I think Kingswood Country or whatever that thing is, Silvertex.
I mean, is there we're reading about the Birkin bag and how there's a bit of an uproar about suing Birkin or Hermes for $10,000 minimum. They try to entice you to buy all the other products before you get access to the bag. Has he got one of those?
Is that a high fashion discussion?
Yeah, totally.
Again, like politics, haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Well, hang on. We had Russell Crowe bring in one of those Italian designers.
Yes.
That worked well.
Yes, they did work very well in the little silver rabbits.
Yes.
And I think you're onto something here with Benji. So the players, like the reserves who weren't, or part of the squad that actually weren't playing on Saturday, they were all dressed in those jackets as well.
Okay.
And the idea is, I don't know, if we go back to a simpler time, Stephen, last week.
Yeah.
Remember, I had a Phillips Tigers jersey and I was reluctant to wear it because I hadn't earned it. Right.
What part hadn't you earned?
I'd never been selected to play first grade for Balmain.
Well, that was the standard for rugby league back in the days before, I think, the 1970s.
Right.
Nobody wore them.
Right. Then,
except the player.
Then the marketing
gurus
worked it out that people would spend huge amounts of money. So there are now a panoply of all sorts of jerseys, all the colours of the rainbow, and that's just
and
your team.
And it changes every year.
That's right.
Mm.
So therefore, there's no currency in that.
No.
The amount of achievement you'd have to do and contribution you'd have to make to the West Tigers in order to be able to wear a Benji Marshall designed grey jacket.
Right.
That is a rare item now. He's creating aspirational items in this club.
So
a new song, new attitude, new era.
It's not leisure wear, so it's not a matching, tracky dack bottom and top.
It's the armour now of the West Tigers. We are here to go into battle and we're going to look good doing it.
And did you battle?
Did we what?
Did you win?
Well, we won for you, Stephen, because I know how much affection you regard the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
Yes.
Which is zero. So we were trying to right the wrongs of 1967.
Hang on, I've got a note here. 32-6.
Yes.
Yes. And I saw Appy was running riot for a while.
He was running riot and throwing up all over the place because he had a huge bout of gastro.
Ah, that's what it was.
And in an unusual scene, he cramped up with about 15 minutes left.
Yeah.
Not because of the usual exertions, it's that he'd lost so much fluid through his mouth during the game.
Wow. Now listen, the game day experience, of course, many have different versions. And I know that you are now in the corporate box, correct?
Well,
and when I say corporate box, we do mean with cardboard walls, right? The possum in the roof. And maybe you're lucky you might get a dim sim or a chico roll.
Well, here's the deal. No more possums.
No more possums.
The possum has been...
They've been eaten, have they?
Well, no. The possum was humanely and forcibly relocated to Kelly's Bush in Hunters Hill, I believe.
Lovely.
Where it's now thriving.
Yeah.
And I've taken a different look at my involvement with the Tigers. This is Stephen. Yeah. You might know I'm involved with a wrestling promotion. We might be sponsoring the Tigers podcast. That's another story.
Right.
So I wasn't in my usual little corporate area. Right. I was now part of the chairman's lounge.
The chairman's lounge. And what sort of comfortable seating do you have?
Well, there's the what we're in what I call the PHA, sorry, the PHE,
yeah,
which is the post-Hadjipatelis era.
Wow.
Right. So typically in the chairman's lounge, you'd arrive at Leichhardt and there'd be circular tables, silver service. Yes. You'd have your meals brought to you. There'd be a lot of corporate stuff on the mic. It was a sort of an upper-class experience, and it created the illusion that Leichhardt Oval was something that it wasn't.
Yes. What do they call it?
The Chairman's Lounge.
The Eighth Wonder.
The Eighth Wonder.
Okay. What are the other eight or seven wonders of the world? The pyramids, I'm assuming.
Well, I think, is it the...
Hanging Gardens of Babylon?
Is it Cheops? Is that the Great Pyramid?
Is that right?
I mean, and of course, Shane Richardson this week has sort of said that the pyramids need occasionally
Trump
clean.
Tower.
Yeah. Well, the old wonders were there was the Colossus of Rhodes,
Colossus
I think.
Colossus of Rhodes,
the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
The Acropolis.
Yes. The modern seven wonders...
It gets complicated, doesn't it?
It does. Look.
And many people would dispute that Leichhardt actually fits the bill. Am I right?
Well, you do wonder what you're doing there.
There's a stadium named after who? Barnes?
Latcham Keith Robinson, Barnes? Our great... It's the Keith Barnes stand.
Yes.
And the grandstand is the Latcham Robinson, our great coach.
And of course, then there's the...
For Balmain.
How do you bottle atmosphere?
You can't.
You can't bottle it, Michigan. And the figs around the
Moreton Bays.
Oh, magnificent experience! Tell me about the culinary sort of situation. How do you get what sort of food? Well, what sort of beer, etc.
As I said, in the Hadjipatelis era, it was kind of an upmarket experience. Now Shane Richardson's prosecuting an agenda here, Stephen.
Yes.
And that is to get the hell out of Leichhardt.
Now Shane, of course, was the man of the people with the Rabbitohs, wasn't he?
He
fixed a few teams up over the years.
Fixed the Sharks, got them the Super League Grand Final, got premierships the Rabbits, the Panthers back in 2003.
We'll get to talking about what, he's stirring the possum with Darcy Byrne in just a minute.
We will.
Okay.
But he says, all I'm interested about is money.
Yeah.
And I get money from spectators, members, and corporates.
Right.
And he goes, I can't get it done at Leichhardt Oval.
So they're not selling the grey jackets?
No. Not yet. You've got to earn that. Okay. So what he's done is he's thrown all the cards up in the air last Saturday. Now, I arrived and it is a organised chaos.
Yes.
So they've got sort of high little bench tables with stools, randomly allocated. There's no seating. You're not Mr. Gale. Let me show you to your usual seat.
White glove men.
Next to Chairman Barry O'Farrell. Yeah, Barry, how are you? All that sort of deal. And it was a buffet situation, right?
Yeah.
And by kickoff, the hot meal hadn't arrived.
Well, maybe Darcy Byrne had gotten there first.
And the plates on which you put your... antipasto or your seafood or whatever was the size of a teacup plate, the saucer.
Right.
So you couldn't get any food on there. There was an unseemly scrum. I was seated with my mate Scott and some elderly gentlemen, which would be me and my mate Scott.
Yeah.
But these guys are going, I'm 76, he's 82, this is a disgrace. We've got nowhere to sit. Sharks chair Dino Mezzatesa arrives. He's bumping shoulders. Yeah. He's going, where's the official table? There was none.
And so all that money is going to Shane Richardson.
It's to prove that we need to move.
Oh, okay.
And look, and of course, you saw huge identities like Barry O'Farrell. Yeah. You saw Brad Hazzard was there.
Is that right?
Laurie Brereton was there. Now, you think it's a beautiful smorgasbord of people all mixing together, but it was absolutely unacceptable. And Richo says what's going on the hill is unacceptable. And Paul Kent, who is a man of the people, unlike me.
And a local.
Yeah, and a local.
Supports a few of the local venues.
Not nobbing it like I was for investigation purposes, but was actually on the hill. Here's how bad it was at Leichhardt on Saturday night.
Listen,
come on.
I was there Saturday night. It was on the hill, okay? 25 minutes to line up to get a beer. Now, that's just unacceptable. That's the core of the game. You stand in line to get a beer. Because you dead set, go for a beer, you come back and they've got 10 minutes to half time.
Man, a man has needs. You can't wait 25 minutes because you've got that need, correct?
Kenny went on to say what a great night he had. It's a really difficult thing to unpack. But look, I can directly experience this. I remember going to Belmore and sitting on the family hill with Bronco Reg.
Yeah.
And it took Bronco Reg 30 minutes to bring back my beer. And that first of all, isn't it disappointing that no one's gone, Kenny, for all your service to the game, can I go and buy you a beer?
Yeah, exactly,
right? Yeah. But no, he has to miss the game.
Yeah.
And it you know, if there's anyone who likes a beer within 25 minutes, it's Paul Kent. So we're not hitting the mark, Stephen. And for every...
Well, how can Kent Buddy recount the experience of the game if he can't watch the game?
You can't report on the game if you're in the beer queue.
And the beer's cold and the pie's warm, Chris?
No.
After 25 minutes,
no, the beers are warm and the pies are cold.
Okay.
And whereas James Hooper is going, it's a gala family atmosphere, families embracing, enjoying themselves.
Right.
Astonisher journalist said she heard on the hill, she heard...
Can I just quote this?
Yes.
Eliza Barr,
yep.
I'm on the hill at Leichhardt Oval right now. Right now, she wrote.
With Paul Kent.
And the disgusting, misogynist, violent and offensive language we are being subjected to by a specific handful of male Tigers fans. Bear in mind, she's a Cronulla supporter.
She's just talking about the staff working there, Stephen, before you even get to the fans.
Yeah, and no lounges.
No lounges.
Right now, so reprehensible and vile, I can't tell. She's a journalist.
Yeah,
well, she tweeted that.
She's reporting the truth.
She hit out the fans who told her she should have moved rather than call out action. What, move back to Cronulla? In an opinion piece on Monday, an avid Sharks and Rugby League fan who had attended matches since childhood called the most vile offensive behaviour I've ever seen. Well, we're getting some colourful opinions here, aren't we, Chris?
It's a range of opinions. Richo's actually leaned into this, saying more evidence. Not only was the corporate a disgrace, I could only sell 300, not 700. And then this type of caper was going on, and Paul Kent missed it. He said, I didn't hear it. Well, we know why. He was in the beer queue.
Exactly. Right?
And I said to a colleague of mine, Craig, I said, Craig, where were you? He said, I was sort of sitting in this particular area. And I said, the allegations are that this language was in use. He goes, I think they're all fair, but it was directed at Cronulla players.
Yes, exactly. She says, you're embarrassing yourselves. Get a grip.
There's the beautiful game, the sloppy game. And then there's the rugby league.
Now, look, I've heard on good word that you popped up a couple of games on the weekend, and each time, somehow, wherever you were, there was a fight. There was a fracas.
So I might have been somewhat responsible.
You just snuck out into the hill, caused a little bit of upset, and then boom, you just ducked back to the members.
Back for another couple of voices.
Unbelievable. Now, you're right. Shane also got into bed with Darcy Byrne. Now, Darcy Byrne is the local, you'd have to say he's a socialist, right? Man for the people.
Inner West Council mayor.
Yeah, yeah. Who likes to stir the pot.
Actively trying to demerge the thing. And Chris Minns said, not on my watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was sort of basically with Shane, culture wars, Chris. You know, when you try to turn the story around, the story is that Penrith, of course, are getting $300 million to build a new stadium, and thus they've got to vacate, go to Vegas next year, et cetera, whilst the brand new palace, I suppose, is being built with those facilities that you don't have at Leichhardt. And what are they saying?
Well, they're saying a number of things. First of all, what an unlikely press conference. You wouldn't really normally think that Richo would be a sort of a in the same orbit as Darcy Byrne, right? It was a little bit like the Human League encore I saw recently at the Enmore Theatre, Stephen. They encore with Being Boiled, the original fast product version from the late 70s with Together and Electric Dreams. You know,
that doesn't work.
It did.
Oil and water.
It did. Richo and Darcy Byrne, right? So the points were many, but Darcy is saying we've got a lot of elite women's sport here at Leichhardt. We've got up to 90 matches.
But Shane is threatening, isn't he?
He's threatening.
We're going to leave here. 90 days we've got, and the warning, we'll quit. About this whole stadium war that he called a stadium war, not a cultural stadium war. And there are these highfalutin rich buggers out in Penrith now, not Ugg boots anymore, Chris, you know.
Yeah. Quivering.
Yeah,
and they just want 10% of that $300 million, Stephen. That's all we need.
So pleading, yes, with Chris Minns, who's, of course, very big on building properties for people to live in.
Like Rose Hill.
That's right.
And, of course, you know what he's also into? Schools and hospitals.
Schools and hospitals. Redirecting a 10% slice of funding allocated to
10%?
Just me, 10%. $309 million. And you know that's going to go up, of course.
Yes.
So let's say it goes to $400 million. So that's, that's
$40 million.
$40 million. That's what I meant. And he said, the eighth wonder of the world there was in desperate need of an upgrade. It hasn't received any funding from the state government since Benji Marshall was in nappies. Hey?
Yeah.
But now he's grown up. Now he's got a nice new suit. Nice little grey suit, doesn't he? There's no good reason Penrith Stadium should have gold-plated urinals. Have you heard such a thing, Chris?
Well, I've never heard that there is such a thing, but you perhaps have got evidence to the contrary.
Well, he said, all I want is a warm beer and a cold pie, which Kenny couldn't get. So there's an upgrade needed, right?
You've got
a clear pathway.
Warm beers, cold pies, and racism, misogyny, and homophobia. It's a heady cocktail on the hill at Leichhardt.
He's not actually asking for gold-plated urinals, but gee, that'd be nice too.
Bronze?
And if it's 10%, if they're going to get, what, 40, Penrith? Just one.
Yeah, well, no. That,
just one.
What, you meant urinals?
Yes. Right. Gold plated urinal, yeah.
I thought you were just saying, because of the parlous state of the facilities, like they just need one urinal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You said they had a Liberal Party member, Stuart Ayres, who managed to get it all for them. We got nothing. We got nothing. The poor bloody Balmain Tigers have got nothing.
West Tigers, please. West Tigers. that's part of the problem right there.
Good luck to them. I was CEO at Penrith and it was great for them, but it's not a bad stadium. Is it? But $300 million, I'm looking forward to the gold taps and the thing. Now, I looked it up, Chris. If you want to get a gold plated toilet right now, right, the going rate Australian is $650,810 for one.
That's cheap.
$40 million is going to go pretty quickly though, isn't it? And it says here that over the years, of course, gold toilets have become a meme in Russia. That says it all, doesn't it?
That's right.
They symbolise corruption and or lack of taste or a combination of both. Dirty politicians have learned how to steal money but not how to spend them, says the Russian expert. So I'm just thinking, who's been known to really have gold plated toilets? I would have thought Elvis would have had a gold plated toilet.
Well,
wouldn't you think?
Yeah, he probably died on one.
Dolly Parton should have one.
To be honest, I like her new
album. They're fat ass men, aren't they?
Well, Dolly doesn't fit in that category.
No, she does not.
And I am enjoying her new album, Rockstar, as we speak. Yeah. Look, I actually searched my memory here once you said that such a thing exists. And of course, I remember. Do you remember the pilot strike in the late 80s, Stephen?
Yes.
So we had to import jets from all over the world. There was, you know, French Numea's Aero Maritime. There was Hercules that you could fly in. I flew in the Sultan of Brunei's private jetliner.
How do you do that?
It was just scheduled, Sydney to Melbourne,
and rebranded for the day
because there were no TAA as they then were.
Yes.
Or was it Ansett?
Yeah,
you know,
Bob Ansett. Right. Yeah.
So you know, I go in the Sultan of Brunei's inn. It's time, you know, they had a couple of drinks. Went up the front, and sure enough, gold plated urinal.
You went in and had a poke around, did you?
Yeah, and they're beautiful. And what we're actually hearing here is this is where the money's going at Penrith, because $360 million ultimately, the $400 million will go in the urinals. They only need $40 million to build the stadium. That's all we're asking at Leica.
Who do they think they are, Chris?
Who, Penrith?
Who do they think they are?
The nouveau riche, Stephen.
Yes, I know.
The Kardashians.
The Kardashians
of Sydney society.
League, yes.
Yeah.
Now we know the Kremlin, of course, loves Gopher. Now, and of course, Putin's got his dasha. You know, where they go there as well.
And we talk about good and evil. There's always that connotation, gold finger, gold member.
The Saudi royal family love them as well, of course, because they can afford them easily.
Drum and bass artist Goldie.
What about Australians? I'm thinking maybe Gina Reinhart.
Reinhart's gold all the way.
Clive Palmer.
Yeah. Twiggy Forrest is gold plated. He doesn't want to be too ostentatious.
So you'd never find, for example, the Atlassian boys doing that sort of nonsense, would you?
No, it'd be some
don't
sort
need
of
to.
It'd be some sort of oak.
Oak.
You know, environmentally well grown.
Yes,
in fact, it'd be simulated oak. It's not real wood.
Okay.
It's 3D printed. Have 3D printed urinals at Atlassian.
Well, Ron, what happened in the rugby league at Penrith?
it was... Remember when we used to be able to go, well, Nathan Curley, he's great. Yeah. He understands the game. He can kick well, but he's not a ball player. Well,
but he's learned how to be a ball player.
Well,
that's what he says.
It's a coming out party last Friday, so Thursday night at Penrith Park, Bluebet Stadium, whatever you want to call it, the gold plated urinals venue.
Yes.
The wizardry. On display by Nathan Cleary. It was, dare I say it, Benji Marshall-esque.
And well, I think even Jonathan Thurston and Andrew Johns were just both saying that he's beyond us now.
Best ever.
Hey?
Best ever. They're
best
saying
ever.
Best ever.
That's right.
It's the new benchmark. And the Broncos went in missing Payne Haas.
Immortal, Chris?
And Adam Reynolds. Oh, like, what's above an immortal?
He's got me completely flummoxed now.
Uber immortal.
Uber immortal. Right.
And then they lost. Once they lost, pretty boy Reece Walsh.
Okay. 34-12 Penrith Wallop Brisbane. Now, they were without the assistant coach. Adam Reynolds.
Head coach for some.
Head coach, yes.
And Payne Haas.
Yes.
And then they lost Walsh and they just surgically picked them apart.
Now, that honestly, that moment I think really shocked the nation, didn't it? You could just see that every single fan, female fan who follows rugby league, they follow Reece Walsh. The only one reason, he's the Baryshnikov of rugby league. He's a prince.
I think irrespective...
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I think irrespective of gender, people were concerned, Stephen.
Yes.
But I personally, and this is, you know, I feel somewhat ashamed to say this.
You took delight.
Just a little bit, because if I hear another rugby league commentator say, "Oh, he's got beautiful eyes," I get lost in them, as though it's an original thought that they've come up with.
It's not just the eyes; it's the hair.
Yeah, right.
It's the grace.
Right.
It's the flair.
We get it. He's good looking. We've established that. You making a joke because you're so heterosexually male that you can admit that you find Reece Walsh attractive. It's not that funny.
Not
anymore. Not funny 2 years ago, maybe it was at the Warriors. And look, haven't we enjoyed growing up with Reece from that fresh-faced innocent kid to you might want to look at the bag of cocaine I have in my pocket, officer, to now just another beaten up rugby league player.
Well, that's right. Even Danica was very upset about what's he going to look like. Has he lost his glory? You know, what's going to happen in 8 weeks' time? Because his face was blown up. He came head to head, accident, head on head.
Well, this is where it all gets murky because the referee penalised him. And he explained why here.
Okay.
He doesn't, he's got a duty of care to bend and make the tackle, and he doesn't bend. So, but you haven't bent into the tackle. You've got a duty to bend to avoid contact.
Who, Reece Walsh has a duty to bend?
No, Taylor May, the
defender.
That's
right, because we know that Reece can dance like the Matrix.
That's right. Whereas you think that these rugby league players are taught to stand up in the tackle and bear hug them to slow down the play the ball.
No.
So Sutton said, penalty, not sin bin. Match review committee, I think General Luke Patton might have been the spokesperson for this, said, we've reviewed the footage, no further action required.
Okay.
Then Felix Annesley then goes on Monday in his usual session, which I don't believe anyone watches, and says he should have been charged. So this there's all sorts of new language coming into rugby league, Stephen.
Yes.
There was a contested kick where Annesley says, I don't want cynical disruptors, in other words, people not attempting to catch the ball in what's now referred the drop zone.
Yes.
Well, now there's a duty of care to bend. And this has already had, and I want you to hear this, Stephen, incredible impact on training sessions in all rugby league clubs now because of this duty to bend.
Okay.
Can you sing? Bend, stretch, reach for the sky.
I remember this. Chris, haven't you seen Keanu Reeves in The Matrix? I keep telling you about this. Reece Walsh has seen it.
Right. So he should have avoided it.
He knows. He knows. Somehow he got clocked.
It's a fast game. Should have avoided the contact.
A lot of blood. How many stitches?
Looked like a good solid half dozen to 12. So half dozen to dozen, I think. Facial fractures.
And it was a great, great weekend for the kiddies watching telly. So when you had Dale Finucane
bleeding all over the shop.
Reece Walsh and Brandon Smith all bleeding everywhere. And everyone going, quick, look at the TV. Look at the TV.
That's the violent bit of rugby league that I think is the good bit, Stephen.
That's what we're keeping.
And of course, poor old Reece was unable to, Darren Lockyer style, fly back to Brisbane. You remember your mob shattered Lockyer's cheekbone in that game up at Suncorp Stadium. And he had to get a helicopter down or something. Reece had to go back on the Broncos bus.
So that was the post-match discussion. What's going to happen? You can't get on the plane.
Yeah.
And they're in Penrith. They've got to get to Brisbane. What, 16 hours in a car?
But thankfully...
Tarago.
Thankfully, for shuttle reasons, Brisbane have brought down the Brisbane bus.
Okay.
And so the media advisor, Reece Walsh, and I assume a driver...
So that's it?
Yeah.
Just two of them?
Yeah, did the lonely trek back to Brisbane where this is what had happened to that beautiful boy with those eyes and that face.
Non-stop Justin Bieber being played. Or was there a song being... Oh, okay. Fire up. Chris, come on now. Should be faced without an eye.
Well,
one eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy Idol, I think it's really time is due for the grand final entertainment to bring back Billy Idol properly.
Were you there that evening?
I wasn't there that evening. No, I
was there that
evening. Were you?
And people like to make fun of it.
Yeah.
I know there was an AAPT journalist who actually got a tattoo of...
Yeah.
We're just waiting for some power with Billy Idol on his bicep.
Did he? Yeah.
But what people who weren't there and they want to make fun of Billy, it wasn't his fault.
No.
He actually circumnavigated Acor Stadium, as it's now known, in a hovercraft.
Yeah.
That was enough entertainment for me. And the fact that he didn't sing was
just... And is this not going to happen with the Orca submarines? Different power? Is this that... Seriously.
Well, you and I probably won't be around when they're delivered, Stephen. No. So it's okay. More like a hypothetical.
I was actually working with all the members of the crew for the NRL entertainment mob, including those people involved on that particular night. And I happened to ask the stupid, dumb question, who actually was responsible? And you can see all these looks like, don't look over the right there. Yeah. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to put their hand up? And they were absolutely horrified. Absolutely horrified, Chris.
Was it a grid issue? Like, you know, there's so many people watching the game on TV that suddenly there was
I think they did a check and then they changed the plugs and didn't recheck.
And, you know, if I've got my geography right, it occurred in exactly the same location as when Cathy Freeman lit the cauldron.
No way. Surely not.
And I was there.
We were there.
And that a minute seemed like 2 minutes before it actually... ascended towards the heavens.
Are you boasting again?
No, I'm just telling facts.
Facts, okay.
On Fire Up, words are important. Wedgie, squirrel grip, the hopawate, the scrum.
Busted up body parts.
Yes.
Rugby league players, we've reached that. What week is it now? Round four?
Yeah.
Yeah. And already, I've got a list of players. There's at least 36 players that can't play right now.
I'm sorry, Stephen. It's not just a list of players, it's a list of superstars that are out with injury.
Now, Billy Knowles, Dr. Billy Knowles, Professor Billy Knowles, His Royal Highness, who has repaired who, Chris?
Mitchell, yep. Latrell,
yeah.
Trbojevic,
yeah.
Tom,
yeah.
Pappenhausen, Ryan.
Success stories.
It's a glittering CV, yeah. Stephen, and now he's got a big queue over there in Philly Town.
Right. And so, therefore, all rugby league players beat a sort of hasty path with their broken parts. Now, we've had this discussion before. You might remember Matty Bowen years ago, way, 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 way back, and I think he did his Achilles tendon. They had to take it off and put it in a petri dish and try to regrow it back to normal again to put it back onto his body. Now, that was very successful. It was forefront technology happening. And then, of course, Melbourne had the lab. You know, they build their parts at the lab and then replace the parts, replace the players. Sometimes we thought they were robots. We didn't know for sure.
I still subscribe to the Harvard Medical Journal, Stephen. Yeah. And the Bowen experiment, as it was described, was written up extensively.
Yes.
And now they have an entire section devoted to Knowles.
Right.
And the work he is doing currently at the forefront of medical science. No, just in general in rugby league
and sport
more broadly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you'll get your quarterly Harvard Medical Journal and they'll go, Knowles update.
Yes, yes.
And think of the inventory in this right now. Jason Saab's hamstring, which he left when he was leaving Vegas.
Yes.
You've got Nathan Cleary himself.
Yeah.
Old Lanton Jaw. He's gone for a month minimum, hamstring. So the ball wizardry, he's probably doing too much with the arms and the hamstring went.
Yeah.
I'm assuming components of Reece Walsh's face are now in the possession of Billy Knowles because you've got to rebuild him more glamorous than ever. Mitchell Moses' foot, that's gone.
Foot, yes, of course, that's gone.
6 to 12. All these major, major features.
And, you know, we used to talk about DNA reinvigoration, but you've got to go from the babies. You know, you can't can you just grow an arm? Or basically a groin?
Well, that's what Billy is working on.
Is he?
But you raise a very interesting... Because you know they often talk about centres of excellence and junior development programs and, dare I say, rugby league nurseries.
Yeah.
Is there a future whereby we grow our players in nurseries?
Right, okay.
Like genetically engineered rugby league players. And that might deal with some of the ethical conflicts the game is presenting in terms of concussion and the like. These are purpose-built... Yeah. Players.
But doesn't it bring up legalities issues, Chris? Like, if you're going to Philly and you take your part, you know, I would assume you put it in an esky with ice. But no, cryogenics. But what if someone's taking a scraping, you know, and regrowing for American market?
Dolly the sheep style.
Dolly the sheep style. Rugby league players form for everybody else.
You know how compliant the Americans were about this Vegas thing, Stephen?
Yeah.
I think it's because they swept the dressing rooms afterwards and picked up a whole lot of rugby league DNA
right.
And it's going back to the NFL development
program. And meanwhile, the AI bots are running around like crazy, building this pass in super quick time.
That's it. And also hitting those drums with the fluoro at the start of the Vegas games.
Can I, we just mentioned drums, can I just say one thing that I really hate in rugby league? The Melbourne Cowbell. I really hate the Melbourne Cowbell. Can I let them know that? It is a ridiculous sound.
But haven't you revealed exclusively, because it used to be some dude at Olympic Park who's probably gone now.
No.
Haven't you actually DJed there and it's part of your sound armoury, the Melbourne Cowbell?
It's a button you press.
Yeah.
And they own the copyright to it and the frequency and everything, you know.
And Did they license that from Blue Oyster Cult? Don't Fear the Reaper.
I think they did, but I don't think they paid. I think you're still looking for payment there. Yeah. So, okay. You went to another game this weekend, didn't you, Chris?
Zelig style.
Zelig style. You just pop up all over the place like some sort of anonymous creature.
I was there at the, as announced by the ground announcer, Stephen, the Sydney Roofers.
Yes, the Sydney Roofers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not right.
Taking on the South Sydney, as I describe them, the Rabble Toes.
Yeah.
Because they are a rabble.
The Rabble Toes.
And to be honest, it looks like South Sydney were on roofies.
Chris, let's not be too cruel against South Sydney. They're people are worried about them right now. Duty of care, please.
Well, we're not going to just adopt, a la look at Reece's, Walsh's eyes, I could get lost in them, the cliche of club in crisis. I just want to say South Sydney, club in transition.
Right, like, so Buzz hasn't, Buzz hasn't put up the sign yet.
Well, no. There was a clamour after Friday night to erect the sign. I mean, they didn't even get to the presses where Jason Demetrio said it's the lowest moment in my career. And I go, has he actually had a career?
Yes, but, yes. And is this the Wayne Bennett syndrome?
Well, they call it...
Steve Price, hello?
The Bennett curse.
The Bennett curse.
Ivan
Henjak. It might take a year or it might take 10.
Yeah.
It'll come.
The guy from Newcastle, his name I can remember with the blonde hair.
Yeah. Right, okay. So who's made some opinions about this disaster for South Sydney this weekend at the glorious home Allianz Stadium, which everybody so thinks, how come they got it?
The Roosters?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah.
How come they got it?
Yeah. you're looking at a society that's egalitarian and based on equity and fairness,
that's
Stephen.
That's right.
And Nick Politis, if he ever gets an opportunity, he's wandering all over the stadium doing post-match stuff about JWH's 300th game and also making really, really clear this is our home.
Right. Paul Kent again?
Paul Kent, so obviously...
He's back though, isn't he? He's back, baby, as they say.
That's what I say. That's the big rugby league story for 2024.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When David Middleton does his 2024 rugby league annual,
And
the headlines will be...
It'll be dead set.
Kenny's back.
Dead set,
getting a beer with Paul Kent. That's
or
a segment.
Not.
That's can you imagine that they announce a new segment on Fox League, having a beer with Paul Kent?
On the ground, and he's got to be on the hill and he's got to get a pie and a beer and see how long it takes to record it. What a series that'll be, Chris.
Oh, boy.
Kenny getting the shits.
Anyway.
He's always got the shits. What does it matter?
This divide, real or imagined, within South Sydney, and I'm saying it's real, and there's a concern amongst certain sections of the rugby league media that based on their background, players like Latrell Mitchell, like with the Triple M thing, you know, hitting with the feather, that sort of thing, that the NRL is going very much down, and I'm sure Paul Kent hasn't trademarked this expression, but the NRL is woke and broke.
Yeah, okay.
And he feels that this is reflecting a direction of the game, which led him to say these outrageous remarks on NRL 360.
And the NRL, for all their enlightened ideas, are weak and gutless and don't have the balls to sit there and say, you know what, let's just sit there and find some consistency in how we address things. And they're terrified of doing it, and they're weakening the game. They are dead set, they're turning the game from a sport into a WWE wrestling. It's all about entertainment now rather than the actual integrity of the game. And while they keep going down this track, they will eventually weaken it to the point that, you know what, this literally did happen to wrestling. They went down this road where it became so much of an entertainment thing, it just became entertainment. They started actually predict the results. They actually started to orchestrate what was going to happen. Rugby league, hopefully, will never get to that point.
Chris, get out the violins. Like wrestling. It's going like wrestling. What is it? Does that make sense? Did any of that make sense to you, Chris?
Like in everything, I found myself agreeing and violently disagreeing with Paul Kent. First of all, professional wrestling, very entertaining. But the temerity of the man to suggest that the results are orchestrated.
Come on now.
That has just been a...
How dare he?
...blight of people talking about our proud industry. Yeah. And to think that he's actually buying the myth that professional wrestling results are fixed.
It's a little bit like telling every kid at some point that the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus doesn't exist when you're talking about worldwide wrestling and back in the day with Killer Kowalski. Come on, Chris.
We've been down this path a bit, Stephen, but the great achievements of Mario Milano,
I know,
Spiros Arion, Sheik Wadi Ayoub, Ron Miller, Larry O'Day.
Did you say Wadi?
Sheik Wadi Ayoub, Wadi Homewood.
Really?
We had tourists like Haystacks Calhoun.
Haystacks?
Mr. Fuji.
Why was he called Haystacks?
Fritz von Erich, who featured in the Iron Claw movie recently.
Okay.
So these are proud...
Real people.
Proud athletes.
With real motives.
Yeah.
Ready to do justice and put out some pain.
And the more that rugby league becomes like professional wrestling, the happier I'll be.
Yeah, and so who he's blaming, putting the finger at the NRL. Somebody in the NRL is bringing it down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, woke and broke, right?
Woke and broke.
Yeah, woke and broke. Look out, it's coming.
And you know why, Stephen? And I think we'll talk about this shortly. It's because of the incursion of the wellness industry into rugby league.
Incursion of the wellness
industry. And it's hurting the fabric of our game.
Nine games all over the joint. Now, I did think Latrell looked a little dismayed and a little bit, I think, hurt as he left the field, sent off.
Well, I was there, and the sin bin was in our direction.
Yeah.
And let's say the predominantly Sydney Roosters crowd, or Sydney Roofers, as I should refer to them, were very happy about this. And Latrell could see the funny side.
Yeah.
He's also, you know how he was in amongst all the F-bombs on his infamous Triple M interview? He said, by the way, I'm happy I scored my 100th try. Mm. The main reason Latrell was smiling as he traipsed to the sin bin, and I still don't understand why they have to go into the sheds. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense in the modern game.
They just sit on the side.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to run on with a knife.
Get on your bike.
Yeah, but he was having a little smile to himself.
Yes, he was.
Not because he was amused by...
I thought he was hurt.
No. He was actually self-satisfied, Stephen.
Oh, smug.
Because he's now the outright holder of the most sin bins in the NRL.
What number?
10. He's now one ahead of Victor Radley.
Wow, so they never stop each other, do they? Never stop competing.
He's going, how good is rugby league? I've scored 100 tries and I've had the most sin binnings.
Right. Now, once again, Zelig, Chris Gayle, somehow there was a fight between the two teams' supporters. Were you in that vicinity, Chris?
Well, I was, Stephen, because it was on the members' side.
Yes,
you know, you wouldn't see this sort of caper by good, hard-working, honest Australian spectators.
No.
It's always going to be Roosters members.
Right.
There's a sense of entitlement in that area and in those bays in which I sit.
Yes.
Which I'm personally uncomfortable with, Stephen, but I'm, you know, there for historical reasons.
Yes.
And there's a lot of attitude. And let me tell you, when the Roosters are eviscerating the Rabbits, they get right up on their toes and right up the scant Rabbits fans' noses. God. And it boiled over. Now, I might have put in a couple of sneaky shoves to get things going, but I'm just out of...
So they get up and they go, hey, we got a Dreamliner, right?
We
go to fancy Greek restaurants. We got the Allianz Stadium. We virtually own the damn thing. And have they not heard of the NRLA Spectator Code of Conduct, Chris?
No, they haven't.
Haven't heard of it?
No, they
throw the book at them.
They cock a snoot at it, Stephen.
Cock a snoot.
And they're saying, we've got Politis, he trumps PVL.
Yes.
And what they were doing was chanting at the South fans, and the chant went Dreamliner, UCLA, Avra, and Dial In.
Can I suggest to finals, to wrap this up, basically, the Battle of Kythera?
Yeah.
Philanus, Pilates, till the death. What do you reckon?
Yeah, pitchforks at the ready.
Okay.
We talked about politics, Stephen. I know nothing about it, but there is, courtesy of Dennis Carnahan, he has written the theme song for the launch of Australia's...
Is it 1990
next, style? Next, 1970
style. 70s, all right.
not like Snap the Power. He has written the launch theme song for Australia's latest political force.
Right.
I feel sorry for those people there with the stench. I know people laugh at it, but we are the capital of Australia. The stadium people here are wonderful people. They, in Canberra, deserve a new stadium.
Rick for Canberra. Rick for stadiums. It's time to make it new. Rick says it's time. Time for Ricky to move up into politics. What better time than now? It's Ricky's time.
I'm uneducated in politics.
Rick for education.
I'm all for education.
Rick for hospitals.
All for hospitals.
He's got his policies in line. It's Ricky's time. Rick for concerts. Rick for public transport. Take the people home. It's Ricky's time. For common sense. Rick for working hard. Like Osborne and Lazarus. It's Ricky's time. Rick for Texas.
47 Texas.
And overhead projectors. He can't do any worse than Mel. It's Ricky's time.
There's a person out there. I'm bugging it.
Rick for clangers.
Some refereeing callers.
Rick for cakes.
That takes a cake.
For accountability.
I'm accountable. I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
Rick can get it started with the Ricky Stewart Party. From players to the lodge, it's Ricky's time. Rick for Canberra.
Rick for stadiums, Ricky Stewart for PM. It's Ricky's time.
FBI Radio presents.
FBI Radio Sold Out is back at the National Arts School Darlinghurst on Sunday, April 14.
A celebration of the best grooves, club classics, new soul and disco from 2pm to 9pm with Sold Out broadcast live from 5pm to 7pm. Catch me, Stephen Ferris, Kate Munro, Josh Beagley, The Godfather, Jonathan Chalui and Finlay Ferris.
Plus live performances from Juanita Tippins, Sergio and Leroy Jones. Tickets available now from Humanitix. Sold Out Live. Helping FBI Radio level up the training ground.
To win tickets, head to fbiradio.com/presents.
Yes, do that. Supported by Fire Up.
Totally supported by Fire Up. I would suggest that you buy tickets rather than go and try and win them.
We need some paying
customers.
That's far right.
But it's, the first party was a very big success, Stephen.
You know why, Chris? Support by Wellness.
Ah, yes. Yes. That's right. We got a couple of mind coaches on board and said, how do we entertain the masses? And we came up with Sold Out.
Exactly, yeah. Now, it's helped Rugby League. Of course, does it really need the funk? Does James Brown need any help at all?
Now?
He's probably done.
You know,
there's a question.
We could have a long conversation about James Brown, and maybe one day in this show we will.
Reincarnation.
But the somewhat quixotic memory I have of James Brown always comes to mind. I was at the Sure Thing party on Bondi Beach, New Year's Eve. And I think the year that James Brown died, he died sort of like Boxing Day, something like that.
Yes.
And, oh God, who's the...
Who played?
Who's the World Is Now guy?
That Boy Slim?
The French DJ, it'll come to me.
Dimitri from Paris?
No, and it'll come to me. But he goes, at the end of the party, it's like 5 minutes to one, it's after midnight, and they're wrapping it up. Yep. And he goes... and of course, this last days we lost the wonderful James Brown. Here is my tribute. And he goes, I feel good. Crowd goes crazy.
Yes.
And then the song finishes. He goes, and finally my new single.
Oh, no, he did not, did he? Took a cheap shot. Now.
Bob Sinclair. Thank you.
Bob
I knew it would come to me eventually.
Yes, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Now, the mental wellness gurus, the industry, one could be a little bit cynical, Chris. One could say that it's opportunistic, it's capitalistic, but they're in full force right now. And we saw this, of course, with, I think, the head of the CBA, the Commonwealth Bank. That's the biggest. Is that the biggest company in the country?
It's certainly up there.
Yeah.
I think it's either Commonwealth Bank or Bryden's Lawyers. I'm not sure which one.
Bryden's Lawyers. So not Atlassian. Okay. So not Canva. So there's a bromance now between this guy, Matt Common, and Seabowl, the coach of the...
Manly Seagulls.
Manly Seagulls, yeah. And were they together?
Yes, well...
They
met at a mind gym
it's called,
session.
What is a mind gym, Chris? I never heard of such a thing.
We need some investigation, but it was conducted by a self-help coach.
Is that like a university?
This is the fourth of the May brothers. There's Talon, Tyrell, and Andrew May.
Right.
And Andrew decided not to pursue his passion for rugby league like his brothers, and he became a mental skills and leadership guru based out of, get this, Stephen, North Sydney.
North Sydney, of course, where the action is. Now, more than that, mental skills coach, you mentioned speaker, podcaster, and CEO, and founder of StriveStronger.com, a digital consultancy that partners with organizations to create cultures of well-being. Nonetheless.
How could you go wrong?
Now, he's recognised as one of the great mental skills coaches and has helped the rugby league. Has he actually helped Manly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at them, 2-1.
Right.
No one thought they would be there. Some might argue that
we didn't think they were going to be there the other day either.
Some might argue it's just because Luke Brooks has come over and is playing well.
Yes.
But they are being sharpened mentally. And Seabowl, he's an open mind, Stephen. He's a thinker.
Right.
And he hasn't got all the answers, clearly, from his time at Brisbane. So he's opened himself up to the work of May, and then you meet heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And Common is definitely one of those guys. Next thing you know, he's in the coaching box.
Right, okay. So a lot of them have latched on. We talked about the Coach Whisperer recently.
Yes.
There was, of course, the little boy who said, "Dis."
Well, that's Hugh Van Kylenberg, Stephen.
Yes.
He's been back in the media this week. And look, I'm jealous of the guy because he's created...
Who, the little boy?
Well,
or
no,
Hugh?
No, Shenzhen's happy. He's got this. He's got everything. But Van Kylenberg has been able to turn his sister's anorexia and 3 months teaching in India into a massive business and podcast business success.
You're not cynical, are you?
I am very cynical. Really, and he lives the mantra of empathy, mindfulness, and gratitude.
Yeah.
I don't want any of those values connected with my rugby league team.
No, no, exactly. But he does say that he's, what, Mr. Imperfect?
Yes.
Yes. Like, so therefore, there's a caveat there.
I admit I am not perfect.
No.
And can't we all identify with that?
Yeah, like Billy Slater.
That's right. So as common is to Seabold, Van Kylenberg is to Slater. Right. He's in the cramped coach's box.
Right.
And the kid is so self-effacing. He said, Billy turned to me during Origin game and said, tackle count. And the other coaches were buried in the stats. And he yelled again, tackle count. And he went, three. And Billy whips around and goes, really? He goes, no, I don't know. I haven't, like I'm just an average guy.
Just joking around.
Just trying to help you open your mind. I can't help you. And I think they lost that game.
Are you telling me that's why Flano's floundering?
Flano is so old school. Right.
Come on.
The media today says that there could be a connection between get this, and I'm glad you're sitting down.
Yeah.
Shane Flanagan and Scott Fulton.
What?
Yes, because Scott Fulton's looking for a job, and apparently they go way back.
Hang on, didn't we dump him?
Yeah. Scott Fulton?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. St. George Illawarra.
No. So who dumped him?
Manly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The key to that question, Stephen, is in the surname.
Right.
Fulton, right?
Fulton, yeah.
So you've got, again, this yin-yang thing going on.
Yeah.
You've got the mind coaches. Robbo.
Sorry. Are they the good or the bad?
I can't tell. I think they're bad, except that Bradley's in there, Astral travelling with Robbo.
Good, is he?
Yeah, you've got Van Kylenberg and Slater, who's talking to horses. Yeah,
Astro or Astral?
Yeah, you've got Robbo talking to chickens.
Yeah, chickens?
By the hypnotism.
Yeah, hang on. Dial in.
Dial in.
I want to get all the T-shirts, Chris. you got to have a slogan, don't you?
And then, you know, your Seabolds and Commons. Over here, you've got Flano Peptides and Scott Fulton.
So where would Colonel Tom Parker sit?
Well.
Yeah, the carny folks.
He'll sit wherever they'll have him. But this wellness thing. So, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I know you have.
Yes, I have.
I think we've got to stop being so cynical.
Yeah.
We've got to be grateful, mindful, and empathetic.
Yes.
And I think we're going to open up our own sub-arm of this podcast empire, the Fire Up Wellness Podcast.
I think the hard part, Chris, what you're saying to me, is that's okay if you're winning.
Yes.
When you're losing, very hard to be any sort of gratitude, any sort of generosity, very hard.
Richo of Nazareth, doing an extensive interview with James Graham this week, has said...
Richo of Nazareth.
That's Shane Richardson, our new CEO intro.
Okay, right.
Yeah. James Graham goes, now you're the intern CEO. Yeah. And Shane goes, no, interim CEO, James. Yeah. Okay. And he said, it doesn't matter when you're winning, Stephen. It's how you are when you're losing.
Yeah.
And if you're on our board...
How am I? Yeah. Why do you care? Come and check with me.
How am I? I'm in a familiar dark place.
It's only been like, 12, 10, 14 years of darkness, you know?
And he says, board members need to come down to the dressing room when we lose and individually shake the hands of the players.
Right.
Which in principle sounds good, but I think the board members are frightened they're going to get belted.
Of course.
Yeah, but it's...
Is this also the new film from Monty Python, Life of Richo?
Life...
Is that what it is?
Well, he's already given a toe for the club, and thank heavens it wasn't a foot.
A toe.
You know, and the commitment is there.
Yeah. And I think he doesn't want gold dunnies, 24-carat plated either.
He just wants spectators, members, and corporates in a big enough facility.
And a quick pathway to get a warm beer
and a cold pie.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you, Stephen. And can I just say, if we can contribute to the wellness industry in any way, 2024 will be as exciting for us as it is for Rugby League that Paul Kent is back.
Yeah, we are a not-for-profit, by the way.
Extremely so.
Out of here. See ya.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of Rugby League shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!